Coming up on today's show,
they couldn't quite offer me the money that I was asking for. It was too good an opportunity to miss. And I said, look, can I have a week's compassionate leave when Pope John Paul dies? I want to go to his funeral. And they were surprised. They were shocked to hear that.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both land you on the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group. Its members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The easiest way to find it, in my opinion, is below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. There is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Tap or click on that to get taken there. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I posted this on social media on July 23rd, but cannot pretend that everyone who listens to Catholic Sports Radio saw it on Facebook or X or Instagram. Kyle Kuzma, one of the NBA's Milwaukee Bucks, had posted the following 6 days earlier, quote, "Not gonna lie, it's exhausting hearing athletes break down how their millions aren't really millions. After taxes and fees, $40 million after taxes is still $40 million. The real issue isn't the system, it's lifestyle creep. Nobody told you to live like a king, buy 5 cars, or move with a 10-person entourage. Modest is allowed," end quote. Kuzma's observation reminds us that true freedom comes not from accumulating more, but from stewarding well what we have been given, whether that's millions or much less. It is a countercultural call in a world that glorifies extravagance, and it aligns beautifully with the virtue of moderation that Catholic tradition has long celebrated. This calls to mind the wisdom in Luke 12:15, which reads, quote, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." If you enjoyed this week's ministry moment, remember that every Sunday I post it as both a YouTube short and an Instagram reel. Feel free to share that way with someone who could use a little encouragement. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played cricket and rugby league in his youth and was very active sports-wise. At around 16 years of age, he was introduced to tennis, got hooked by its international status, and around the same time watched films about the Olympics, becoming attracted to the storytelling. He fell into sports broadcasting and never looked back. As a TV producer with more than 25 years experience, he covered some of the world's biggest sporting events, including 7 FIFA World Cups, 4 Olympic Games, 19 Roland Garros tournaments, 17 Australian Opens, World Figure Skating Championships, and countless international sports broadcasts, working alongside many of the world's greatest athletes. On the faith side, not only has he been to the Vatican 3 times, but 4 years ago he went to the Holy Land and made a film about it that even includes tennis star Serena Williams. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Glenn McKay.
Bruce, it's a pleasure to join you. Thanks for that lovely intro.
You bet, you bet. Glenn, you're in Paris right now and still a long way from home. Share with the audience where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born in a place called Parramatta in Sydney, and come from a reasonably small family. I had one sister, and yeah, that's basically it. Lots of cousins.
Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the McKay household when you were a young boy, including any Catholic education you received.
Well, that's actually interesting, Bruce, because my mum come from a staunch Catholic family, whereas my father came from a family that was quite questioning the Catholic faith, in fact, quite hostile to it. So my grandma on my father's side refused to go to the wedding of my parents and kind of refused to even acknowledge it because she was against the fact that it was at a Catholic church and was very anti-Catholic. So they came from that time, Protestant Catholic, that type of thing. Whereas my mum come from a very staunch Catholic upbringing, and she came from a large family of seven sister brothers. And yeah, the deal was my mum wanted me to go to a Catholic school and have a Catholic education, but my father and pressure from his mum was against that. So my mum and dad reached a deal that I wouldn't go to a Catholic school, but I would go to Catholic church every week. So my mum forced me to go to Catholic church from, well, since I can remember. And credit to my dad would drive us to church nearly every week as much as he could. He was a firefighter, so sometimes he was working weekends, but any weekend that he was at home, he would drive us to church.
Wow, even though he was against the Catholic faith, he would still drive.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And yeah, so it was an interesting upbringing, Bruce, because yeah, I learned through my mum to be very faithful and was taken in by the Catholic Church in that upbringing, whereas my father was quite almost anti-Catholic Church and quite questioning of it. So I had the upbringing of those two lines of thought, but we had an incredible parish priest. His name was Father Breslin, and he just won the community over, be it religious or not, through his presence. Just basically that community feel. He brought the community together, and he was very present. He would walk around the suburb that I was from, Guildford, every day, each morning, each evening, each day, and he would be very present. And he would be very friendly and everything. And he was a remarkable man. He was a remarkable man.
Well, yeah, the fact that you're still talking about him all these years later is testimony to that. In the intro, I mentioned that you played cricket and rugby league in your youth. What age? How did you get started into those? Did you play any other sports?
In Australia at that time, even today, sport is very popular in Australia. And in the suburbs of Sydney, if you didn't play sport, you basically got beaten up for being weak. So, cricket and rugby league were the biggest sports. So, rugby league was a sport that was a winter sport, and cricket was the summer sport. So, it just kept you active throughout the year. I also did little athletics. So, I was in an athletics club, which was a Friday night, which I absolutely loved. My sister and I went there. My sister wasn't as keen to go every Friday night, but that was something to keep us healthy. And Australia has a tradition of sports, Bruce, as you probably imagine. So we were just active. I was not particularly great at any of those sports, but I loved doing them, and I was active in doing them.
Well, what age was that? And I'll tell you why I'm asking.
From as early as I can remember, Bruce, I was playing cricket in the front. You'd play on the roadway and you'd have like garbage bins as your wickets. And as the cars go past, you collect the garbage bins and you wait for the car to go past. That's from as early as I can remember, Bruce, like being active.
So then tell us about the big impact on your life that getting introduced to tennis, watching films about the Olympics, and falling into sports broadcasting all had. Because as I understand it, these developments that I'm mentioning, those were starting to occur as young as 16 years old.
Yeah, I think that's one of my great blessings, Bruce. I kind of understood from a young age what I wanted to do. And, I'm now in my early 50s, and I know people at my age who still don't know what they want to do. I was very lucky that at that young age, I was in love with storytelling from a young age, and I think that comes from listening to priests' sermons and the interpretation of the Bible and interpretation of multi-layered stories. And I think when I look back, I think that's what got me into storytelling. Every Sunday, listening to a priest's sermon and interpretations of these multi-layered stories from these places that were, far away in my head, places like Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Galilee, etc. So storytelling was something that was interesting to me. And then come 16 years of age, I can remember a local friend of mine who was obsessed with tennis. I wasn't into tennis at the time. It probably wasn't violent enough or aggressive enough for me. Tennis was looked upon as a little bit weak. But I was at 15 years of age, I did work experience at a magazine publishing house. And I did it for a week. I sent letters to like 100 places, and one place got back to me and said, "Look, we'll welcome you for a week doing work experience." And it was with Australian Cricket Magazine. And I was, I loved cricket. So this was a dream come true. But there wasn't enough for me to do with the cricket magazine. So the guy was generous enough to allow me to explore some of the other magazines within that same publishing house. One of them was Smash Hits magazine, which focused on music, and it was at the time of pop music. So I was starting to get into music. So hearing this woman had just come back from England and interviewed Duran Duran and everything was quite exciting. But one of the other magazines was Playboy. And my mum found out that that I was going to be in the Playboy magazine for a day or so, and she rang up the publishers and asked them not to allow me with the naked women. And oh, Bruce, I've never been so embarrassed in my life. I was so embarrassed. I was like 15 years
I
of
could hear
age,
her saying, "You know
ready.
he's only 16, right?"
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think I was 15, actually. I don't think
Wow.
I'd even turned 16 at the time. And I was ready to kill mum. I was so embarrassed. I've never been so embarrassed in my life. Anyway, the editor of Playboy magazine took a liking to that. I think he just, understood that there was a mum who really cared for her son. And he was very, very kind to me. His name was Peter Kozlowski. And on my last day at that magazine publishing house, Peter Kozlowski said, "I'm going to take you out to lunch." And, he took me to KFC. It's KFC known in America. He took me to Kentucky Fried Chicken, it was. And he sat me down and he said, "Look, you've got to understand that this is a very competitive industry that you're trying to get into." And he said that there's a lot of people wanting to get into this industry, and they basically see their name as bright lights and think they're going to be famous without the hard work. And he said, "You have to understand that it's a lot of work in this industry." And he said, "You have to understand that you don't really have the grades to get in to this industry, and you don't have the famous surname that most people rely on to get into this industry. So you're going to have to find a way to capture people's attention. You're going to have to find, if you like, a gimmick that will stand out. And if you find that, you've got a chance in this industry. If you don't, and there's a massive chance that you won't, you're going to have to start thinking about what your backups are." And it was great advice. It was great advice. And I thought a lot about it on the train home. It was quite a long train ride home. And my uncle had a camera. So I thought the camera could be my way of trying to explore and trying to show what I can do. So I borrowed my uncle's camera and I started taking photos of rugby league players and cricket players. And most of my friends and people at school didn't believe that I was taking those photos. They were like, "How would you meet these people? How is it possible?" So then I started getting photos with them to prove that that was me that took the photo and that was me that had the chance to meet them. And a friend of mine was obsessed with tennis, and he begged that I come to the tennis in order for him to meet some players, because he was like, "How do you do it? How is it possible?" So, and Bruce, I remember this day. I was 16, going to a place called White City, which was like an hour train ride from where I was from, and going into the car park, sneaking into the tennis, and then finding out where the tennis players were practicing, and finding out where their press conference was, and how there was a chance to meet them. And Bruce, for the first time, I was hearing so many different accents and seeing so many different faces. And I can remember just the Eastern Europeans, hearing the Czech language, and what I didn't really realize what these languages were at the time. And then that's the late 80s. And then understanding that, wow, these people were from the Eastern Bloc. This is so different to, and they just looked different. They were focused, and that day was a real eye opener for me, Bruce. It was one of those life changing days. Just
It sounds like
understanding
it.
the international appeal of tennis. It was rugby league was quite local. Tennis was global.
An audience, the fuse had been lit, as you can tell. And, really, what I also heard from that advice, taking you out to Kentucky Fried Chicken, is you're really going to have to work hard. And audience, work hard, Glenn did. I watched something, Glenn, where you said that you sacrificed relationships to do justice to your work. We have fast forwarded, by the way, far, 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 far into your career now. I worked for someone like that, by the way. If I ask you, Glenn, to evaluate that statement through a Catholic lens, I sacrificed relationships to do justice to my work, does it make you feel different from looking at that statement in a professional career context?
I'm not sure that a Catholic lens is any different. I was always appreciative of relationships, and I was always appreciative of, I think I've always been considerate, and I think that came from my mum, and that also came from listening to priest sermons as well, the importance of consideration. And so I think I've always been reasonably kind and considerate, but I've been very focused, which comes, and a selfishness comes with that, Bruce. So I have easy relationships with athletes because I understand their focus and their drive. And I think a lot of people would interpret that as being very selfish, but I understand you need to be so focused. I think sometimes where I can be probably the most impatient is when I need to have this very strong focus, and there's noise around me that people trying to distract me for things that I don't think are so important. I need to have that tunnel vision focus at times, especially when I'm a TV producer. So when you're in a gallery and everything, you have to be really focused on every word that's being said and every vision that's being broadcast, etc. So you can't be distracted by the graphic artist talking about the weather or what she went through over the weekend, etc. And I think same with the athletes, they don't have time for distraction. I've interviewed hundreds of tennis players, and they're always very, very punctual, because 10 minutes late is 10 minutes not being on a practice court, and they're very conscious of that. So I'm not sure how I answer it
No,
from a Catholic
you
lens.
gave a great answer. Unbeknownst to you, you gave a great answer, because what I heard in there from a Catholic perspective is that you do understand that there are sacrifices to be made, right? Whether we're in a Catholic environment, whether we're in a professional environment, whatever, but also that you did have respect for the people that you worked with. And in the case of the athletes, you showed grace, you showed compassion to these athletes because you know that they are there to do a job just like you are. So I very much, as you can tell, read between the lines of a lot of what you said, because I can picture you in a room one-on-one with Rafael Nadal and saying what you just said. He's given me 10 minutes. I'm blessed to have this time with him. I need to maximize it for my benefit and for his.
Yes. And thanks for the interpretation, Bruce. That's lovely.
No, really well said. Really well said. Friends, there is also a powerful quote that Glenn has about the Holy Land from a priest who appears in the film he made. In addition to that, I want him to share with us about having visited the Vatican 3 times, well, at least one of those 3 times in particular, something very significant that he went there for. Alliance Catholic Credit Union provides a financial home for Catholics. They believe that managing your money should be simple, secure, and supportive of your faith. From a highly rated mobile app to low-rate loans, they have all the tools you need. And as a member, you will be part of an organization that proactively supports Catholic education. Join today at AllianceCatholic.com, Alliance Catholic Credit Union, where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Friends, this is our ministry. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in community with one another as believers and trying to help one another get to heaven. Catholic Sports Radio, I'm optimistic, is one of the ways that we unite as the body of Christ. As I hope you have noticed, I treat this almost as though all of you are actually, what would that be, board members, stockholders? In other words, I charge myself with reporting expenses to all of you and keeping everything transparent. It is my hope that you will prayerfully consider supporting Catholic Sports Radio through a financial gift. And as a result, I believe that you will feel better doing that because you know how your money is being used. You know what it will go towards. For example, last week I talked about the $200 invoice I had just received for the annual renewal of the website security platform. And the week before that, I reported on the bill I had gotten for $135 for the annual renewal for the email marketing platform that I use for the weekly e-newsletter and the mailing list that goes with that. It is my hope that you believe in this ministry and enjoy the work that I do and feel that Catholic Sports Radio is helping you in your faith life such that you would want to show your support by way of including this mix of faith and sports as part of your tithing and help me with bills like those that I have mentioned, which I otherwise have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover since this is neither my full nor my part-time job, which means that I do not get any income for doing this show week after week, month after month, year after year. You can make a financial gift to this ministry via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It allows you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, for the folks who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you have heard me do when guests or listeners have sent in a contribution, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Glenn, just one more question before we turn our attention to your trip to the Holy Land and the film that you made. In the lead up to today, you made a statement to me that, quote, "I can't remember a time not attending church," end quote. I'm going to put you on the spot with that because in the intro, I read off quite an impressive list of a lot of major international sporting events that you worked over 25 plus years. Can we assume that despite all that travel to those events and being holed up in the TV truck for days during a long tournament, you were still getting at least to Sunday Mass?
Not always to Sunday Mass, Bruce, because sometimes that clashed with the sport that I was working on. But yeah. I was doing everything I could to go to church each week, yeah. And I've been to church in, I can't even remember how many countries.
Wow.
Dozens, maybe close to 100.
Yep. Whoa.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of churches in a lot of different countries, yeah. And always fascinating to see and to hear the church in different languages.
No doubt. So tell us now about your trip to the Holy Land, including, I'm guessing you had to have decided before you went, that, oh, and I'm also going to shoot a film as I go through this?
Yeah, so basically my mum's dream was always to go to the Holy Land, like, again, since I can remember. And, you know, since I was a kid, she would go to, you know, every time we went to a shopping mall, she would go into a tourist travel agent and ask for pamphlets of the Holy Land and everything. And that was always her dream.
Wow.
But my dad was never as keen. So as dad was approaching retirement, Mum was getting more excited about this Holy Land journey, and the pressure of that was quite a lot on the marriage. And it was one thing that led to the divorce of my parents. So my mum just got too old and fragile to ever go. She missed the chance to go.
Oh, I see.
So it was always in my mind to go, and I wanted to go with mum, but she just got too old before we got around to doing it. So I tried to go to the Holy Land. I can't remember the first year I tried to go. I made a decision to go there just on the eve of a big war in Syria, and Iran said, "We're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth." And they said that like 2 days before I'd booked the trip. I'd booked everything, and then there was advice from the government not to go. And a friend of mine who was Turkish said, "Glenn, don't risk it, don't go." So I cancelled the trip and then was scheduled again to go in 2021. And Israel had another case of COVID, so they cancelled tourism. So again, I had to pull out. And then on that year, it was, I think it must have been the end of 2021, the airline wouldn't refund the money. They delayed the flight. I was about to turn 50 that year, so I just put my 50th birthday as a marker, Bruce. This could be the date that I go, because I didn't know how long it would take for COVID to, for tourism to reopen. And tourism did reopen probably about 2 months before, 3 months before. And then I decided quite late, maybe I'll try and film this and make a film out of it. And I wasn't sure that it was a good idea. And I met with I'm now living in Paris, and I met with the parish priest, Father Aidan, and asked his advice and gave him. I had this idea for a film, and I was thinking of this and that, but I wanted to pay homage to priest sermons as part of the film. And I wanted to have initially, I wanted a group of different priests from different places and tap into the power of sermons, because I think that's one of the powers and the beauties of the Catholic Church. And I think people who are not fortunate enough, or in my case, I say blessed enough to be part of the Catholic Church, they're not hearing those stories regularly. And I think that's one of my great blessings. That's what's led to my success in storytelling. And I wanted to do homage to that. And I spoke to Father Aidan about it, and he said, "Look, I'll do anything and everything to support you." And that basically gave me the courage to go ahead with a camera crew, Bruce.
But is that, I mentioned earlier before the break about the quote from the priest that appears in the film, is that him? And I think you know what I'm referring to, that was kind of cautionary about going to the Holy Land. And this would apply to anyone listening who is considering going there that's not gone before.
Yes, that was him. That's Father Aidan.
And his and I don't want to say his advice, but his caution was what?
I wasn't sure what his caution was. He went before I went. He said, "I've got to warn you, it's kind of dangerous." But he said, "I believe in you, and I believe that you'll do it, and I believe this will be a great success." And I didn't want to interrupt him, so I kind of left and went to the Holy Land, not understanding what he said was kind of dangerous. And it was kind of in my mind quite a few times during my trip. What did he mean it was kind of dangerous? And then when I got back, I asked him, "What did you mean by that, kind of dangerous?" And he said, "Well, firstly, you're in a region of conflict." And this was back in 2022, Bruce. So this was before the recent tensions. And I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel in danger when I was in the Holy Land. I was a little bit stupidly blasé about that. I felt very comfortable. And then he said, "What I meant by that was sometimes when you go on a pilgrimage or you go somewhere that you believe in and you get very excited about it, doesn't always live up to that hype and that expectation and that excitement. And sometimes that can dampen your belief." But in my case, that wasn't the case, Bruce. It actually, if anything, enlarged my faith and my experience.
Yeah, I love that he said that because I have lived both sides of that. I have lived the person that does hype something up. And I'm not talking bad about Emmaus. I'm just saying that in my case, someone really, really, really hyped Emmaus. And then I went on an Emmaus weekend and I was disappointed. And I think that's why, because it had been so overhyped that I kind of just felt myself going through the motions and I went, eh, it was all right. Well, then when I made my Curcio weekend, the person who was my quote unquote sponsor, she said, I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't want to influence the way you go through the weekend. Everybody experiences it different. You just got to let the Holy Spirit work. And I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I went, oh, you're not going to. And she said, I'm not going to tell you anything. You just go. And I went, oh. And it was so much better because there was no hype to live up to. And the Curcio weekend was monumental. So I love that he
Wow.
did that for you. I don't want to give away a ton of it, but just talk about, were you there by yourself, by the way? And just talk about, maybe, I know it's impossible, even though I've never been there. I know it's impossible to say, can you pick out, one impactful site or one impactful story? And preferably something that folks will see when they watch your film.
I went by myself, yes. What I did was I went to these places on my own for a day. I did a tour guide in each of the places. So the places include Bethlehem, Galilee, Capernaum, Jerusalem, Nazareth.
Wow.
So I went there with a tour guide or on my own for a day. And then I picked out, I had in my mind certain things, but I also wanted to experience things, so let things unfold. So the first day was either with a tour guide or on my own. Then the second day was either on my own or with a tour guide. And then the third day and fourth day, I'd have a cameraman join me, and I had a local cameraman. So I had a Palestinian cameraman when I was in Palestine. I had a Israeli cameraman when I was in Israel. So I hired local camera operators and local drone operators as well. So when on my own, Bruce, it's incredible. Like I've been to many, many countries, but this, just when you turn up, like the first moment and you arrive at Tel Aviv Airport and you're looking for the bus. My first hotel was in Jerusalem and I went to Bethlehem the day after it. Just seeing the sign, Jerusalem. You're just like, wow, I'm here. This is incredible. And seeing road signs, Bruce, just blew my mind. Like you'd see, when I arrived in Jerusalem, and you'd see to the left the Mount of Olives, to the right a highway to Nazareth, and further there, straight ahead's a highway to Bethlehem. And you just see those on road signs, and it just took my breath away. Like there's a few moments in life where I understand my jaw is on the ground. And those moments were jaws on the ground. And then I think being in the Sea of Galilee, Bruce, that was a spot that just l will live with me forever. I think the first time I arrived at the Sea of Galilee and just looked out, seeing that sea, and I was amongst a day tour with a group of, well, I guess there was about 30 of us in the on that day tour, and quite a few of us, I got to speak to quite a few of those, and some of them are in the film that I did. We all said, being in Galilee was something that was just you hope to remember forever.
Audience, I will have a link to Glenn's film on YouTube on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. But Glenn, when the audience watches it, you say that Serena Williams will be heard in there talking about the importance of faith and hard work.
Yes. I've been fortunate enough to interview Serena a few times, many times, and I was always curious. She's a very religious, devout Jehovah's Witness. She's very faithful, and I was always wondering what her take on how much of her success is hard work and how much of her success is a God-given talent. And I'd been wanting to ask her that for years. And one day I had the courage to do it, and she gave me an incredible answer.
Wow.
She's got a very interesting take on life, Bruce. Like Serena's, when Serena's wanting to talk, she's not always wanting to talk, but when Serena's wanting to talk, she gives fascinating insights.
Audience, when Glenn was talking about some of the potential dangers of traveling to the part of the world that he was describing, I'd be remiss if I didn't send you back to April 20th, the episode of Catholic Sports Radio that came out that day. It was number 376. If you never heard that, go back and listen to my conversation with Sam Goodwin. He talked about his having been taken hostage and wrongfully imprisoned while in Syria. It was part of his travels to every country in the world. Fascinating and get the popcorn out kind of thing, because as he told that story, you feel the tension with him as he describes what he went through. So, Glenn, as we wind this down, you have talked about the work that you've done in so many countries. You talked about going to church in possibly 100 countries. But what about your three trips to the Vatican, or at least the one that you were able to take there due to something you had put into your work contract?
So, I joined a company called Eurosport in the early 2000s, and Pope John Paul had a massive impact on me, Bruce. He came to Australia a couple of times, and we went as a family to the first papal mass he did in Sydney, and that lived with me. That was a very important moment, and I understood. My mum was always quite interested in Russia and the Eastern politics, and she really gave a lot of credit to Pope John Paul and Lech Walesa for the freedom of the communist bloc, and I understood what Pope John Paul meant. And I still put him down as one of the greatest people of my lifetime. So it was very important for me to. I always wanted to go to Pope John Paul's funeral. And I left Australia in 1999. And I had a very, very blessed life, Bruce. I had a very good job. I was working for the government broadcaster at a very young age in television. I had a very caring family. I had everything. And I was just getting a little bit bored and a little bit complacent. So I wanted a new challenge. So I went to England and wondered if I could have a career in England. And then I thought, I'm going to stay in, and I really want to go to Pope John Paul's funeral. It was one of my biggest ambitions in life. And then when I got this job at Eurosport, they couldn't quite offer me the money that I was asking for. It was too good an opportunity to miss. And I said, look, can I have a week's compassionate leave when Pope John Paul dies? I want to go to his funeral. And they were surprised. They were shocked to hear that. TV is quite liberal. There's not a lot of staunch religious people in TV, or they don't admit to it. And the boss of Eurosport, Pierre-Jean Serbert was is his name. He was impressed. And I think I possibly, got the job on that basis. And he always remembered that, he said, I'll always be faithful to that promise. He promised that I'd get the week compassionate leave when Pope John Paul died. And the word got around Eurosport. I was called the Pope guy for a while because they couldn't believe that I'd made this request. Anyway, I was filming at this thing called a Sexpo, where there was these girls in dressed up in football gear. And I got a phone call from Pierre Jean, and he said, Glenn, I don't know if you've seen the news. Pope John Paul's taken a turn for the worse. He's got days, if not hours, to live. And he said, I really want to do justice to the promise. And I want to be, oh, and he said, but we need to understand if he dies very soon, who replaces you? Because I was working on a Italian football studio the next 2 days. And he said, we just need to make some plans for this because he's only got hours to live. So I said, well, Pierre Jean, I'm sure I can do the studio tomorrow and the day after, even if he passes away in the next few hours, the funeral's not going to be that soon. But if he does pass away over the weekend, can I make the arrangements to have this? And he said, absolutely. So Pope John Paul did die only about 2 hours later. And I was very lucky because I reserved a hotel and reserved a flight. And I reserved a flight to Rome. It was in London at the time. So from London, and then I reserved a hotel. And, you know, within minutes of his passing away, Bruce, the cost just went astronomical on hotels and that. And I got a reasonably good deal. But I did go to Pope John Paul's funeral. I was, you know,
wonderful.
It was an incredible moment.
Oh, wow. Wow. Final question. We're going to close with something sports related. Where or what is your next major sporting event that you'll be working? What city, what tournament, what dates? Where are you off to?
Off to New York City for the U.S. Open tennis, Bruce.
And that is when?
It starts on the 24th of August. That's when the fan week is. So fans can go to that. And that's when the qualifying is. And then the week after that, the main draw starts.
All right. All right. Very good. Very good. Glenn, really great to have you on. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Audience, remember the link to Glenn's film about the Holy Land will be on the show page for this episode on Catholic Sports Radio. Glenn, God bless you. Thank you again. Wonderful to talk to you.
Bruce, I love your interview styles. You're very good. I've been listening to your podcast and I really enjoy the way you do the interview. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for that. Thank you. Audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.